So this morning I was feeling some different things doing worship, and Annie came up and gave a word about there being a dark cloud. And I was thinking the other day, a few times this week I've gone down to the beachfront, and I've walked on the beachfront, and I walk north, and then I walk back south, and I'm looking at Table Mountain. And some days it's clear, that's the day I'll take out my phone and take a picture, and there's this clear, beautiful Table Mountain view, and it's like, wow. And other days there is a haze that kind of blocks, and maybe there's clouds over, and it's darker, and it's not as clear and bright and as beautiful in those days. And I feel like for some of us, life can get like that, where we feel like sometimes it's like clear and, it's obvious what God is saying, what God is doing, where God is leading us. It's those times when things are there's just a heightened sense of God's presence like we have right now. But there's other times where it feels like there's a haze. And I'll get into my scripture in just a minute. But this morning as we worshiped, I felt like, I'm not one of those people that will read the manual. If I get a new car or a new computer or a new whatever phone, I just don't read the manual. I'm a discovery learner. And so I'll just kind of figure it. And then there's buttons on my car that I'll never push because I don't know what they do. I'm not a very techie kind of guy. I like it. The easier it is, the better. And so there's features on my car that I'll never use. And, there's features on my computer that I'll never use because I just don't take the time to read the manual. And I felt this morning for us as a congregation, I felt like God almost, almost like we're kind of like that. I saw us as like an orchestra, and that each of us is like a different instrument, and some of the instruments aren't playing. Some of the instruments you've got the instrument down by your feet and you're not playing, and I feel like God this morning is saying that, He wants us all to be playing. He wants to activate each and every one of us and bring us into the thing that he has made us for. And I feel like God wants to actually, for some of us, and I don't know how this fits in with my preach, but it might fit in. But for some of us, he wants to push the button. And we haven't had our button pushed in a while. And I feel like this morning God's saying he wants to push the button. But some of you are going to have to choose to engage. You're going to have to choose to say, okay, I've sat unplayed long enough. Some of you, I'm talking in the spirit and not necessarily in the physical, but maybe even it applies to the physical, but I think some of you are going to have to move from the back to the front. Physically and metaphorically. That you sat in the back for a while. And you've disengaged for some reason. Maybe you've gone through a hard time. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've been offended. Maybe you don't understand what God is doing. And you've just kind of moved to the back. You used to be in front. But now you've moved to the back. And I feel like God wants to push your button. And he wants you to re-engage. And when he does, it won't just be you that experiences the life of God, the joy of God, the wonder, the amazing, that thing that, like when you push that button and then all of a sudden you realize you've got turbo in the car and it's like, man, I didn't know I didn't know about that. And but it's not just you that'll experience it. It's all of us. Because God has added us as members of a body. And can you imagine if for your whole life, you know, you're like, your thumb was never working. And whenever you try to pick things up, you'd drop them because you didn't have that opposable force. And there was always an awkwardness and a lack of functionality because of that. And all of a sudden, one day, your thumb just starts working. It's like, oh man, this is so much better. I can throw a ball. I can open a doorknob, and it's not awkward and weird. And so, some of us are like those thumbs, and you're part of a body, and you haven't been activated in a while. And I feel like what God is wanting to say this morning is He wants to activate you again. He wants to push your button again. So that isn't what I was going to preach on, but that's what I feel like God is wanting to say. Tony, will you put up that 2 Corinthians? And you guys all have to bear with me because I feel like I'm going to chop and change and move things around in my message this morning to pick up on what I feel like God is saying to us. And we had some things come through in the prayer meeting that were, there's a significant... one of the things I love is, and I've said this before, is when you can kind of see that thread running through, and there's this confirmation that comes when one person says, I got this morning, and I was praying, and this happened yesterday, and it's like there's this consistency, and you pick up on what God is wanting to say and do this morning, and that's kind of one of those mornings in our prayer time. And I would encourage you, again, with those of you who feel like maybe God wants to push my button, that you try to make an effort to be a part of our prayer time. Because at 8 o'clock this morning, we had roughly 50 plus people who are all coming together. And the sentiment is, God, we want to hear what you have to say to us. God, we want to engage in what you want to do in and amongst us this morning. God, we want to be available if you want to speak to me or through me. God, I want to be a part of what you're doing this morning. So I want to encourage you to, everybody is welcome. 8 a.m., we meet up in the fishbowl, and we just seek the face of the Lord. Before I get into the scripture, I want to welcome Richard and Sue back. Stand up. So everyone knows who Richard and Sue are. This is Richard and Sue. They've been away for a few months or forever, it feels like, and they're back now. And I'm sure at some point they'll get a chance to tell you all about it. So let's read this scripture together. It says, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to the other. For this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. And it's almost like what I was saying earlier about Table Mountain, how like that veil, that fog, that haze is being lifted. And it feels like this morning that God wants to like remove some haze from our lives. And the title of my message this morning is Change is Good. So I'm going to tell you, I have a confession to make. My wife and I have, it's not really a confession, it's just something interesting or about us. My wife and I have a favorite TV show. Does anybody have a favorite TV show? Like where you sit around with your family, it's like they call it appointment television because, you know, you have your show. We have, our favorite show is Survivor. We love Survivor. Now, obviously, we love the American version of Survivor. I've never seen the South African version. I probably would love that too, but... We watch it every week. It's actually the only show that we actually pay for because we don't have that we don't have access to the television. So we pay for it on iTunes and we wait every week. And in the States, it's on Wednesday evening. So that's be like Thursday morning here. And then we wait because it takes, used to be like it would, within 24 hours it would be on. But now it's like, it feels like it's 2-3 days. So like this week's episode isn't on. We just wait. We get, and we go to our computer and we look and wait till see when it comes on. And then we say, okay, my whole family knows that when I say, okay, three words. Well, not my whole family. Let me say, my daughter Ryan knows if I say three words, she says, previously on Survivor. Because that's the way the show starts. And my wife and my, so that was my daughter Ryan. My wife and my daughter Carly, it took them a long time to figure that out. So my wife will say, I'll say, hey, Ann Margaret, three words. And she'll rack her brain and she'll say, you want to know what you're playing for? I said, that's more than three words, Ann Margaret. No, try again. It's previously on Survivor. So that's like our family thing. That's what we do. And we've watched it for years and we love it. And the episodes go by way too fast. And then you like, because like normally, like a lot of us have become accustomed to like binge watching, right? So you can go from one episode to the next, to the next, to the next. But it's not like this. This is the show that we watch week after week. And you get to the end of the episode, and it's like it went by too fast. And then they have the tribal council where somebody's going to be voted off and all that stuff. And then the show ends, and you're kind of waiting because it's going to be, stay tuned for scenes from our next episode. And you kind of wait, and you watch it, and you're like, oh, man, now I want to watch that episode too. Because we all kind of want to know what's going to happen next, don't we? There's something inherent in our human nature where we want to know what's coming, what's happening next. And maybe that's why we love the prophetic so much. I don't know, but I mean, who loves the prophetic? Who was like, when Mervis said, I have a word for someone, who was thinking, I hope it's me? Because, man, how great is it when Mervis, like, sings over you? Like, that's next level stuff. You definitely feel, like, special. And I know that for a lot of us, and we've experienced some massive changes in our church and our congregation, and maybe you've had massive changes in your life. Maybe God has been speaking. Maybe you're like wanting to know what God wants to do next. Maybe you're curious about where are we going as a congregation. You know, we've gone through all these changes. What for? Why? Or where are we going as a larger movement, as a larger church? As Josh Jen, where's Josh Jen going? Or where's 412 going? And it's inherent in our nature to want to know what comes next. And we've had all these changes, and for some of us, it's, you know, the change is like unnerving. For some of us, change is distressing and produces anxiety. It's unsettling. We don't like it. Who doesn't like change? Raise your hands a little higher. Who doesn't like change? Okay, who likes change? Okay, these are the weirdos. And my hand's up too because I love change. I am a non-traditional kind of guy. If you know, back in the States, every year we had a Christmas Eve service. And in the Christmas Eve service, you'd come into the church and there'd be there'd be carols, usually the same ones you sing every year. There would be the story of Jesus' birth, always the same scripture, and then we would do what we call a candle lighting service. Has anyone been one of those candle lighting things where you have, you know, like everyone comes in, they get a candle, and then the one flame gets passed around, and everyone's candle gets lit, and then you go from darkness to gray, and it's like we do the same thing every year, and it's like, I never want to go to another Christmas Eve service in my life. I've already seen that. I've been there, done that. There's no surprises for me. I like change. I want something new, something different, something unexpected. I want to be surprised. That's what I love about coming to church on a Sunday morning. It's like, I think I know what God's going to do, but I never actually really know what God's going to do. And I don't want it to be the same. I don't want it to be neat and tidy. I don't want to be able to set my watch by it. I want it to change. And we've gone through some changes in the congregation. And for some of us, like I said, it could be unsettling. For some of you, you think, I like the old elders. Why do we have new elders? I like Conrad. I like Martin. Why do we have these new guys? And the reality is change is constant. Things are always changing. I took the liberty of Googling some quotes on change, because there's always good quotes on change. So I'm going to read a few quotes on change to you. It says, C.S. Lewis said, "There are far better things ahead than any we leave behind." Nice. Way to go, Tony. Thomas Fuller said, "All things are difficult before they are easy." That's a good one, right? Raymond Lindquist said, "Courage is the power to let go of the familiar." Jeannie Rometty, "Growth and comfort do not coexist." I like this one. William Arthur Ward said, "The pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects it to change. The realist adjusts the sails." That's a good one. John F. Kennedy, famous American president, he says, "Change is the law of life." It's true. Change is the law of life. "And those who look only to the past or present are certain to miss the future." And then finally, this one, "Life is like underwear. Change is good." Truth is truth, right? All the moms said, yes, change your underwear. Like I said, I'm one of those weirdos that likes change. And that's a good posture to have, because we're constantly experiencing change. Those of you who are young and now you're old, you know that things have changed. You've gone through massive changes in your physical body. Things aren't, you don't move as easy as you used to. And you go to bed earlier. When I was young, I stayed up late. Now I go to bed early, and I like it. But I like the idea of change, because it reminds me that God is always working for our change. He's always bringing us into more. He's always transforming us. If we go back to that scripture in 2 Corinthians, he's always taking us, or hopefully always taking us, when we're following him and when we're seeking him and when we're obeying him and when we're cooperating with him, he's always taking us from one degree of glory to another. Isn't that what we really want? Isn't that what he originally intended? In Genesis, it says, he said, "Let us create man in our own image." And then it says that we, because of sin, we lose that image. And now God is constantly wanting to bring us back toward his image, from one degree of glory to the next. From unholy, sinful, to holy. To be like God, to be like him. And that excites me. I'm excited because I know that change means in my life, that change means that that God is bringing me into the more, as Uncle Will would say. That he wants to bring us into more of a relationship with him, more of a friendship with him, more of an intimacy with him. More of an obedience towards him, to look more like him, to think more like him, to act more like him, to believe more like him. But at times we can be like that picture of the mountain, and there can be a haze that comes over. And it feels disconcerting for us. But God wants to bring us into a clarity. It's back in that scripture, it says, "But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and we all with unveiled faces beholding the glory of the Lord. And this morning, I think if I could say, you know, if you're feeling hazy, if you're feeling uncertain, if you're feeling unsettled, this morning I believe God wants to remove the veil. He wants us to look at Him with unveiled faces. But I think for us to do that, we have to be willing to be comfortable with the fact that God is in control and He's going to do what He's going to do. One of the most secure places that we can get to in our walk with God is when we can begin to realize that we are not in control. That we do not make the choices, but God does. We can make suggestions. We can submit requests. We can have preferences. But the reality is, God makes the choices. And when we get to the place where we say, "Yes, God, I'm going to trust You and where You're leading us to as individuals, as families, as a congregation, as a church, as a movement. God, I'm going to trust where You're leading us to." When we can get to that place, then, like I said earlier, God can switch us on. And we can be used by Him. And there's a comfort that comes when we begin to when we embrace the reality that God is actually, like Kegwin was saying earlier, that God is actually the potter and we're the clay. Because I think sometimes us, because of our human nature and because of our tendency towards selfishness or our tendency towards proficiency, we can begin to think that we know more than God does. For some of you, you run businesses. You run most of the moms in here run their own their family and their home, and they're doing so much, and they have so much capacity, and for some of us, we operate in realms where we have to be decisive. We have to maintain control. We have to make sure certain things happen a certain way, or things will fall apart. For some of you, you're running a business, and it's like, you know, you have to make sure that the work gets done, the product gets out, the customer gets billed, you get paid because you got to pay, and if you don't, then everything's going to fall apart. And so you're used to this illusion of I'm in charge, I'm in control. Man, if mom gets, we all know that when in the house, if mom gets sick, things fall apart, right? If mom gets sick, we might be eating like cake for dinner because it's the easiest thing, or we might be, you know, like there's going to be a pile of dishes in the sink, or the laundry's not going to get done because mom makes it happen. And so, because of our human nature and because of the nature of our lives, we become people who learn how to take matters into our own hands because we have to. But then we come into the kingdom. Then we come into the body. Then we come into our church. And we come into a relationship with God, and we feel like we can take control there too. And the reality is no, we can't. The reality is God is in control. God is in charge. God is leading the way. God has things planned for us that we do not understand, that we do not see, that we cannot comprehend of. And sometimes we can come to God and we can say, okay, God, whatever you want to do. And God says, okay, go left. And we say, okay, I'll go left. And things work out great. But there are other times when God says, we say, okay, God, what do you want to do? And he says, go left. But right's better, God. You must be mistaken, God. You must have gotten something off. Because you obviously don't understand that this is better than that. And sometimes it's just, hey, we're just all a little slow. And sometimes we're a little arrogant. And other times we're just confused. But the reality is, we have a God who knows best. We have a God who wants to lead us into more of Him, more of His kingdom. We have a God who actually sent His Son to die for us. And I don't think anyone in this room would have made that decision. Every single one of us would have found a different way, a better way, if it were up to us. But we have a God who loves us. We have a God who is faithful. And the reality of understanding the faithfulness of God has a massive, massive impact on how we respond when change comes, when God begins to change directions. And He wants to shape and mold us in a way in which He can not just use us, because yeah, that's part of it. But He wants to shape and mold us so we can be intimate with Him. So we can be on the same page with Him. So we can be part of what He's doing and not just sitting back and watching what He's doing. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is. What is good and acceptable and perfect. See, God is constantly wanting to transform our minds. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Bible says the things of God are foolishness to men. And God will come and He'll begin to bring about a shift, a change, a new way. And we begin to look at and reason. Sometimes God comes in ways that are subtle. I have this little expression. I don't know if the theology is any good. Richard, you can test my theology. But I have this little expression. I probably have said it to you before. But I say, sometimes God whispers. And then sometimes He shouts. And I feel like God wants to bring about a change in our lives. And He comes along and He says, okay, hey, Jenny, it's time for you to make this change in your life. And you say, nah, that can't be God. So He comes and says it again, and you'll say, come on, Lynn, there's a little change I want you to make. And you think, it can't be Him. And eventually over time, because God loves us and because He's faithful, He raises His voice. And I've seen that happen in my life and lives of people I love, where it's like, You know, like all of us as parents have seen it with our kids, and we for our kids who are a little older, we begin to say, hey, you know, you've got to do this, and they don't do it. And then you've got to do this, and they don't do it. And then eventually we begin to raise our voice. We begin to, and then we begin to apply discipline to that child. Maybe it's, you know, like when your kids are little, it's something simple like, hey, you got to brush your teeth. And you know, does anybody have a kid who likes to brush their teeth? I didn't have any kids that liked to brush their teeth. If you did, you're among the lucky ones. But, you know, we're all nice. We all start out nice. Okay, kids, time to go brush your teeth. And then, you know, eventually it becomes, if you don't brush your teeth, you're going to be in so much trouble. And so I think sometimes God is like that parent with us. And he wants to bring transformation. And it's because he loves us. It's because he has something better for us. Just like we as parents look at our kids and we want them to brush their teeth because we know it's better for them to have healthy, strong, clean teeth than have their teeth falling out of their head. And it's very simple as a reasoning, rational adult to say, of course they need to brush their teeth, or of course I need to brush my teeth. It's like, of course. And there are times that God's going to come and he's going to say, hey, it's time for you to make this change. Maybe God's going to come and say, hey, it's time for you to let go of your offense. You've been mad, you've been ticked off, you've been offended, you've been annoyed, you've been all these things for a long time. Could be at a parent, could be at a child, could be at a friend, could be at an elder, could be at a community leader. And you've just, I don't like that guy because he did this or he did that. Or I don't like the decision that person made. And so you carry your offense. And God's coming in and he's saying, hey, time to get over that. Time to let that go because it's actually hurting you and holding you back. It could be that you have been hurt and you've said, listen, and this morning as I said, okay, there's some of you who, you know, metaphorically you're in the back, you need to move to the front. And you used to be in the front. Maybe you used to be a community leader. Maybe you used to be someone who went out on a Saturday morning and shared the gospel with people because you were so excited about Jesus. Maybe you're someone that used to say, I used to go to the prayer meeting all the time because I was so excited and I didn't want to miss a thing. And you've been hurt. You've been let down. Maybe you had a leader who let you down. Maybe you were a community leader and your leader said something harsh to you and you got your feelings hurt and you backed away and you've pulled back. And what you've actually done is you've pulled back from the body, but in some ways you've pulled back from God because you don't want to deal with that hurt and you don't want to be hurt again. So you've said, I'll just sit back here. I'll come. I'm still a Christian. I'll give my tithes. I'll show up when I'm supposed to. But I'm going to hold my heart back because I don't want to get hurt again. I'm going to hold myself back because I don't want to get hurt again. And so you've just taken a back seat. And you've said, I'm not going to put myself out there again. And I really feel like this morning that God wants to challenge you in that area. You know, I was talking to Nick, the elder, Nick's office. Where are you, Nick? Somewhere in there. He's standing up somewhere. So I was talking to Nick. Here he is. He's back there. Nick doesn't like to sit for long periods of time, so he wanders. So I was talking to Nick last week and I said, you know, the reality is one of the things that I have to do as a lead elder, and we have to do as elders is, you know, we've had all this massive change, and now we have a small eldership team, but we have a large congregation, and we want to. It's an absolute imperative that we make sure that we are caring for and loving the people that God has sent to us, because we know at some point we're going to have to face Jesus, and we're going to have to give an account for everyone He sends us. And so one of the things I realize I need to do as a leader is I need to raise up more elders. And I said, it's the difficult thing right now for me, Nick, is I see that we have a lot of great guys who are potential elders, but it feels like some of them are just holding back. They've been hurt in the past. And they're here, they're faithful, they love God, they're devoted, they're committed, they're here, but they're a little bit back-footed. And they're holding back because they've been disappointed or they've been hurt or whatever. I said, a lot of the ladies are front-footed. A lot of, you see, like this morning is a great kind of prophetic picture. Besides Mervis prophesying over the gentleman in the back, the words that came through this morning, and Declan, yeah. But there were ladies coming forward and saying, you know, I hear this. And I'm not saying this as a blanket statement, and I'm not saying that, but I'm saying in general what I'm saying is a lot of the men are holding back. And we're not leading the way we're supposed to lead. And I feel like God wants to challenge you this morning. That men, as we pursue God, as we begin to ask God, God, what do you want to shift in me? What do you want to do in me? And some of us need to deal with, even if it's just a mentality that's kind of settled over you. We just need to deal with it and say, you know what? There was a time when I, as a man, could not be held back. I was like a wild stallion running and chasing, running after God, running hard after God. And as I've aged, as I've gone through things, I've slowed down. I've started to play it safe. Because I don't want to get hurt. Or I don't want to get disappointed. And I feel like God's saying this morning that we need to begin to take the bridle out of our mouth, take the saddle off, and begin to run wild for God again. That we need to be the kind of people, men and women, who are so passionate and zealous for God that we cannot be held back. Some of you are saying, hey, I already am, great. But some of you need to say once again, God, you know, here I am, use me, I'm ready to go. Some of you used to get up early in the morning so you could spend time in God's presence, so you could hear His voice, so you could pray, so you could seek Him. And those times have gotten to be less and less. Some of you used to be passionate about the Word of God. You couldn't get enough. And you've settled. And you need to relight that fire that's gone out. This morning, as we spent time in the prayer time, and I'll finish now, the word that came through consistently is God wants to call us to a greater degree of holiness. He wants us to be like Him. For some of us, we've allowed some worldliness to come in. And God wants to call us as a congregation to be a holy people. A people who reflect the King and the Kingdom. And it's a season of him coming and wanting to bring change and to renew and to relight and reignite something among us. So I have to end here. So I'm going to ask that this morning, if you can say, yeah, something in me has, that the fire has dimmed, that I'm not as on fire as I used to be, but I want to be on fire. Now I'm going to ask you, please don't respond to this unless you really mean it. Because my ego doesn't need the whole room to stand up. I want us to be real before God now. But if this morning you're sitting there and saying, yeah, I used to be on fire and I'm not on fire. Man, I used to be, really, really walk in a way that was holy before God. And I've kind of let the edges get a little blurry. And this morning, if you want to say, man, God, I want to reignite that fire in me. I want to be on fire for you again. God, I want to chase hard after you. God, I want to be the guy who people can't contain my passion and my zeal for you. Can I just ask you, will you stand? Because I want to pray for you. If that's you, will you stand? Again, I don't want you to stand up unless you really mean it, but I feel like there's some men that need to be standing right now. There's some men in this room who you have not, that there's more in you than what you're giving to God right now. I'm going to pray for these. Lord, I thank you for men and women who want to burn brightly for you, God. I thank you that you want to bring, that Lord, you want to set us on fire for you, God. And I pray this morning for every one of us, those that are standing and those that aren't, God, that Lord, that you would pour fuel on us. Lord, that even right now, Lord, you would go throughout this room and just pour fuel on us, God. Reignite fires, God. Lord, where people need to like let go of some things that even right now they would let those things go. And just say, I'm going to get over my hurts from the past. I'm going to get over my offenses from the past. I'm going to get over my disappointments from the past. And I'm going to go for it in God. Lord, that we would be a people who just were marked by the go for it. Lord, we thank you. I thank you for everyone. Lord, for every person in this room, I thank you. Lord, help us to be all that you want us to be, Lord. Help us to walk into the more that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.